Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Footbeer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, it is time for the Fantasy Footbeer Awards. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing super well, James. Thank you for asking. We are unwinding from the 2025 fantasy football season. I've already forgotten that I lost in the first round of the playoffs. That never even happened. I'm ready to take a break and get ready for 2026, but we got to give props and accolades where they are due. All our most valuable players, all the things that we got right, the things that we didn't get right this year. We got a lot of nominees, got a lot of names, a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Should be a really fun episode. But first, I want to know how you are doing tonight.
I am doing really well. Thank you, Stu. And before I tell you how I'm doing, this is the equivalent of like the red carpet for our award show here. So, Stu, who are you wearing tonight?
Well, it's kind of sad, but it is actually a shirt from the Indiana Pacers playoff run last year. Just sitting around the house, kind of close. It is really sad, but I also have my cat on my lap. Pixel is right here. She's purring. I did not make the mistake of closing the office door this time, so hopefully, if you heard her last recording, it will not be so loud. But yes, just memorabilia from what could have been for the Indiana Pacers. No Prada or Gucci or anything on my wardrobe today. How about yourself, James?
I am wearing a... what am I wearing? I'm wearing an Under Armour hoodie and black sweatpants. I don't see a logo. I'm not sure that anyone actually made it. Indy the dog is here, too. He's behind me licking on a frozen treat. He is wearing his best for the Fantasy Foot Beer Awards, which is to say he's wearing nothing, no collar or nothing. He's just raw dogging it.
Whew.
But
raw dogging it.
Before we came on, I totally forgot that we were actually recording today. So I'd gotten myself all cozy. I made myself an old fashioned, was getting ready to watch Stranger Things. And then Stu texted me and was like, oh yeah, we've got stuff to do. So this is, as we all know, Fantasy Foot Beer's biggest night other than all of its other biggest nights. And we are going to award several awards for the 2025 fantasy football season. And we are both extremely excited to present them. We came up with a list of nominees, and actually, we were not the ones to decide them. The person who decided these awards was the winner of one of our collective leagues, the BBFL, our longest-running league we are in. At least I think it's our longest running.
Oh, it absolutely is.
For sure. Ryan Tucker, who we got a shout out Ryan right now. Ryan was a guy who finished last place in our league so many times we literally named the last place trophy after him. We made a last place trophy out of like a Chinese takeout containers and like put his picture on them. And finally, after so many years, he won the championship. And I think most of the league is, if not all of the league, is very excited for him to have won a championship. So if you have somebody like that in your leagues who you want to celebrate, or if you are that person and you want to gloat and bask in that awesomeness, just channel that through Ryan Tucker tonight. Everybody, Ryan Mendez Tucker, find him wherever he is and give him some love. So
you don't actually have to find him. We don't want a bunch of random people finding him. Just send out good vibes over the airwaves. He's in medical school. He's got enough going on right now. Yep. He doesn't need a bunch of people looking for him.
Ryan Mendez Tucker, the GOAT. All right, so Stu, we have 12 awards to give out, so let's go ahead and get on into it. The first award is different from the other awards. This is our all footbeer team. So this is the nine players who we believe are the best nine for fantasy football this year. And I'll just go off, and since there's not actually any nominees, I'll just do them. Quarterback, Drake May. RB1, Bijan Robinson. Running back 2, Christian McCaffrey. Wide receiver 1, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Wide receiver 2, Puka Nacua. Tight end, Trey McBride. Flex, Devon Achane. Defense, the Houston Texans. And kicker, Jason Myers. Stu, on the All Footbeer team. Thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm sure people will have thoughts, especially at quarterback. I mean, you could throw out the Josh Allens or people like that. But Drake May, given his draft capital, you know, just how much you had to give up to get him on your team, how consistent he was throughout the entire season, and as he continues to produce into the real-life playoffs, I think it's a very reasonable and palatable pick at quarterback. I mean, this is a really easy set of awards to give out. I mean, Trey McBride, unanimous best tight end this year by far. The most receptions in a single season for a tight end. You cannot do better than that, and no one has done better than that. But wide receivers, it's a two-man race. Thankfully, we have two spots for JSN and Puka both. Running backs, a little more sketchy. I mean, you could go a couple different ways. It'd be a more interesting conversation if the Colts were a little more relevant towards the end of the year and Jonathan Taylor was afforded the opportunity to continue his insane run of touchdowns that really buoyed the Colts to 7-1 before they imploded. But Bijan, CMC, and especially the ever-consistent Devon Achane, all extremely, extremely easy picks for us. Really, really solid lineup. I wish I had this team there, James. The all-footbeer team would be winning championships like nobody else's business.
Wouldn't that be nice? To have all these guys.
Wouldn't it be nice if we made all the right decisions?
Oh, yeah. You saw Hamilton recently, didn't you?
I did, yes. Oh, my gosh. It was so fun. It only took 10 years to actually see it in person. Amazing show. I was kind of bummed I couldn't go see Leslie Odom Jr. As Aaron Burr, though. That would be the only change I would want, but I at least have the Disney special. So. Next up, though, James, moving right along down our list, we have the fantasy most valuable player. And this time we actually do have some nominees, and then ultimately you will get a chance to reveal our champion, Ryan Mendez Tucker's pick. For the three, we have running back Christian McCaffrey, tight end Trey McBride, who was actually on Ryan's team, Ryan's championship team, would you believe it, and quarterback Drake May. So what does our BBFL champion think of those three guys, James?
All right, three extremely deserving candidates here from three different positions. The one that Ryan ultimately went with was not ultimately surprising, I think. The image of consistency and dominance in consistency. He is, I think, in the conversation for one of the greatest running backs of all time by the time he finishes. It is none other than Christian Run CMC McCaffrey winning the Fantasy Footbeer MVP Award. So congratulations to you, Christian McCaffrey. We will have a little gold foot beer sent to you in San Francisco, probably. No guarantees. Shipping right now is crazy, as we all know.
Yeah, things are getting lost all the time. It might show up. It might not show up. What will it look like? What does a foot beer look like? Who knows? It's just a surprise.
It's probably not something you want to drink.
Definitely not.
You know, that makes me think, like, I'm a home brewer, Stu. I could make a beer called Foot Beer.
I mean, sure. I don't know how well it would sell, but I'd at least drink it once.
Hold on. You would drink a beer called Foot Beer.
Yeah. Well, if you made it, because I mean, you understand what foot beer is. It's grown beyond just the linguistic definition of the word that's not even a word. But if some random brewery out there made something called foot beer, no, I probably would not drink it.
And then we'd sue them for copyright infringement, probably.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. I am introducing our next award. This is our Rookie of the Year award. This is the first year player who performed above their station to the highest degree. And our nominees are from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, wide receiver Emeka Egbuka. From the New York Football Giants, quarterback Jackson Dart. From the Indianapolis Colts, tight end Tyler Warren. And from the Las Vegas Raiders, running back Ashton Jeanty. And Stu, the winner.
The winner, as determined by champion Ryan Mendez Tucker, the 14th year of the BBFL. Is it the 14th year of the BBFL? It feels like the 14th. Yep. Gosh, good for him. Good for him to finally win one. But he ended up choosing tight end from the Indianapolis Colts, Tyler Warren. Now, James, I don't have any gumption with that pick, but it honestly, looking across the board at these rookies, it just seems like an underwhelming year overall. I mean, I had Tyler Warren myself on my team, and I probably wouldn't have picked him. Ashton Jeanty didn't really live up to his billing. Emeka Egbuka disappeared towards the end of the year, be it on him or be it on Baker Mayfield a little bit, his fault. Jackson Dart, I think he's going to be an incredible pick next year. He's going to be the Drake May of next year. Book it now, 2026. Jackson Dart, QB1. Probably not QB1, but excellent pick. Anyway, Tyler Warren, congratulations. Your miniature foot beer trophy thing. It doesn't have far to go, but who knows if it'll show up.
It's probably in the mail.
It's probably somewhere in the mail. Anything on the rookies, James, before I introduce the next category?
Yeah, you know, you said it was an underwhelming year, and I would say that, you know, most rookies, when they come out, they probably are given such high expectations that it's very hard for them to meet them. And all of these guys came out with very high expectations. Probably the one who didn't was Jackson Dart, who some of us, even one of us on this podcast, thought he wouldn't start over 7 games.
I think it would have been better for his career not to do that, but whatever.
But I think all of these guys performed very well in their rookie season and showed us that they have a very strong NFL career ahead of them for all four. And there were others on the list who got cut at the last second, like Harold Fannin Jr. But I think Tyler Warren, with the way he handled his position, is a well-earned winner here. So, Stu, our next category.
Our next category is the Draft Day Steal. Draft Day Steal, the best value for your selections in 2025 drafts. We have some nominees to consider. Wide receiver George Pickens from the Dallas Cowboys. Running back Quinshon Judkins of the Cleveland Browns. Running back Travis Etienne Jr. of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And another running back to round out, Woody Marks of the Houston Texans. James, who did Mendez Tucker select
for the draft day steal of the year? The winner from the Jacksonville Jaguars, it is running back Travis Etienne. And I think for all of these guys, any of them could have been picked. All of them slid down the draft order. All of them had reasons to doubt their production. Woody Marks very well could have been in the Rookie of the Year conversation. But Travis Etienne, of all of these guys, had the most consistent production down the stretch. and I think is a fine pick. Again, could have gone to any of these guys, but fine pick with ETN. Stu, what are your thoughts on these?
You know, I am fully supportive of all four of these guys. I think you can make really good arguments for each one. Travis Etienne, it just going from his 2024 season where he was almost unanimously the most disappointing fantasy selection. He was going in the late first, early second round, and he just fell on his face. To come out, be disregarded basically in drafts, drop to the seventh or the eighth round, and then put up the season that he had, along with Bashaul Tuten being drafted. It was just impressive. I totally support any of these four guys I could see, but Travis, I think, is a very worthy selection there for draft day steal. James, congratulations on you drafting him this year.
And I forgot that Quinshon Judkins was also a rookie.
Yes. Yeah, he was. If he hadn't gotten injured, you probably could have talked about him as a rookie of the year candidate as well.
Yeah, probably over, like, well, either Ashton Gentry or Emeka Egbuka. But whose turn? Is it my turn to introduce league winner? Is that
Yeah, go ahead and introduce it. Go for it.
Okay, I think it's my
turn. I forgot.
All right, we're all good. We usually wait till the end to drink, but today I'm on my second old fashioned. Stu, are you drinking today? Are you still...
I've got kind of what I had last time. I still have it's a tequila cocktail, tequila cocktail, lime crush flavored. They're actually pretty good.
Very nice. I got a cocktail smoker for Christmas, and I've been smoking cocktails. It's fun. But anyway, league winner of the year. This is a player who showed up late in the season to deliver you a championship and or deep playoff run. Sometimes this is interpreted as an award for later draft picks who show up down the stretch who, again, deliver you a championship. Sometimes they are just the players who show up the most on championship rosters. So our nominees are from the Arizona Cardinals, wide receiver Michael Wilson. From the Baltimore Ravens, running back Derrick Henry. From the San Francisco 49ers, Brock Purdy. And from the Jacksonville Jaguars, quarterback Trevor Lawrence. And Dr. Stu, the winner.
The winner of league winner for 2025, as decided upon by RMT, it is from the Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Michael Wilson. James, Michael Wilson, since week 14, has not failed to score a touchdown. He rocketed up position rankings, ending in our league's scoring format as a wide receiver 1, as the wide receiver 11. No one would have expected that in the early parts of the season. He got you to the playoffs from the waiver wire to championship rosters. I can't imagine any other selection. I mean, Derrick Henry with his, four touchdowns or five touchdowns on championship week is great. But the consistency week in, week out to get you to the championship and then still put up those numbers, James, Michael Wilson is an excellent, excellent selection. What do you think about this category?
Just an incredible run from Michael Wilson. And it's one that nobody saw coming either. Like, everybody thought that this was going to be the year that Marvin Harrison Jr. Got over his rookie hump and started to produce. And it looked for a second like that might happen, and then late in the season he gets hurt, and who shows up in week 11 but Michael Wilson with that 185-yard run, or yard game, rather. Who could forget? And then just never looked back. Michael Wilson, whatever happens in the future with his role with the Cardinals and that kind of turbulent franchise, he... And us as a fantasy community will always be able to remember this moment. Just what an incredible run for him. Really hats off to Michael Wilson. Mm-hmm. And on to our next award.
Yeah, my turn to introduce it. We have Bust of the Year. based on draft capital, it's a little sad. These guys, you were mad at them all season.
The next few of them are sad awards.
They are kind of sad, yes. Let's talk about the people that disappointed us, the people that enraged us. Our nominees for Bust of the Year include Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson, not quarterback proof, wide receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars, Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver from the New York Football Giants, Malik Nabers. This is a little unfair, in my opinion. And then lastly, quarterback Lamar Jackson. James, take it away.
Any of these guys could very rightfully have this award. And who ends up getting this nod from our selector, Ryan? It hurts me a little bit personally because I'm a big believer in this guy. And he is too because he drafted him in the first round. But it is wide receiver from the Minnesota Vikings, Justin Jefferson. Possibly the best receiver in the game is the bust of the year. And Stu, I know who I would place the blame on for this. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but I would like your analysis on this selection.
I don't think that you could lay all of Justin Jefferson's troubles at the feet of a single man. There's just a lot going on. Carson Wentz, 9. Max Brosmer. Jefferson himself. It's Max, right? Max Brosmer?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, you laughed and I was like, oh God, I said his name
wrong. I'm laughing at the fact that the first name you mentioned is not J.J. McCarthy. In fact, you never said J.J. McCarthy.
9 is his nickname. It's his alter ego. J.J. McCarthy is not on the field playing football. That is not him. This is his alter, man. I met somebody... I'm like a HIPAA violation. I met somebody with diagnosed dissociative identity disorder. We talked about alters at work. It was pretty fun. And 9 is his alter. This is a different person, okay? I fully support. I'm just kidding.
Wait, are you J.J. McCarthy's eye doctor?
No, I am not. I do my job a little better than he exhibits. Yes. So there's a lot going on with Justin Jefferson. We're going to talk about Justin, JJ McCarthy a little bit later. So I will save a little bit of my analysis for then. It's a worthy selection, but it's not all Justin Jefferson's fault. But can you imagine there is a team out there, Justin Jefferson round 1, BTJ round 2, Lamar Jackson round 3. That's a reasonable roster with how things shook out. And that is a
painful
last place punishment sort of roster right there.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough.
Yes. Okay. So next up, it's you to introduce. I'm sorry.
I think it's my turn.
I'm cutting across.
All good. All right. The next award for the Fantasy Foot Beer Awards is the Told You So Award. This is the one that during the summer months when we were breaking down the teams, when we made hot takes about these players, we were right about them. And the nominees are Travis Hunter. Told you he was going to not be good. George Pickens. Told you he was going to be good. All tight ends except for Trey McBride. Told you not to draft them. And J.J. McCarthy. One of us told you he was not going to be good. And Dr. Stu, our winner, please.
Yes, as decided by Ryan Mendez Tucker, the winner of the Told You So. Hope you listen to us. Hope you listen to Fantasy Footbear. It is Travis Hunter, wide receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, James, I was talking myself into J.J. McCarthy because I thought I was going to get Justin Jefferson in the draft. And then by fortuitous series of events, Jahmyr Gibbs falls to me and I was allowed to slam that mother heffin' button. So I did not get subjected to the Justin Jefferson experience. I was talking myself into it. I needed to believe, okay? I needed to believe. Just J.J. McCarthy's not very good. He'll still get a chance, I'm sure, next year, but I don't expect very much from him. As far as Travis Hunter winning this award, I could see it, but it will always be a what if, because he looks primed to take the lion's share of the production in that wide receiver room before he got injured and his knee went kaput. So it will always be a what if what would have happened. But yes, Travis Hunter was very, very disappointing. James, you were the one who led the charge against Travis Hunter. Take your bow. Come on up.
So the bow is not about the injury that happened. No one can predict injuries, nor should we. But for the future, I'm going to take future bows on this, because Jacoby Myers looks very at home in Jacksonville, and Travis Hunter doesn't look at home anywhere at the time. He had like one great game, but anyway, I don't want to dunk on the guy. He's young. He's extremely talented. He has all of the ability to prove me wrong in the future. Just this year, I didn't think he was going to be much good for fantasy football, and I was right. But I hope that Travis Hunter is very good in the future. So I'll give a half bow on that one. I don't feel good about it. But Stu, go ahead and give us the Eat Crow Award.
Well,
and this one,
actually, we did skip one. We did skip one.
Uh-huh.
So we skipped the Never Again Award. This is the last time this person will be on my team. They were so, so poor. We're not going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers or people that are retiring. The Philip Rivers, okay, never again. But the Never Again nominees, the people that are coming back to play but will not be on my fantasy team. Number one, running back from the Arizona Cardinals, the injured James Conner. Number two, running back from the New Orleans Saints, Alvin Kamara. And lastly, wide receiver from the Tennessee Titans, Calvin Ridley. When was the last time you heard that name, James? Calvin Ridley has been just a non-entity. Tell us who won this award.
Well, while one of my favorite moments of the summer episodes was us fighting each other for who would get to stand on the table for James Conner, the winner and the very much deserving winner of this award from the Tennessee Titans wide receiver Calvin Ridley. You are the Never Again of the year, and your production was just not good. And we know your team was not good, but even outside of that, just not a lot to go on. I don't know if I want to give the quote from Cam Ward, keeping it 100, but this is a family podcast, I'm sure. But Calvin Ridley, we are never drafting you again. Stu, anything else on that?
I can't believe that he was one of the most popular mid-rounds. Like, this is such a value pick. You need to get Calvin Ridley on your teams. Rookie quarterback's going to be looking for him. There's nobody else. And then he's outscored by Ilik Iyemanner, Chimray Dike, Chig Okonkwo, Tyler Lockett probably in the four games that he played. It's atrociously bad, his season for the season for Calvin Ridley. Very deserved. Never again, man. We'll always have the run you had on the Falcons before you got busted for gambling. It was gambling, I thought. And then he like took the season off or something. Anyway, he took this season off too, James. Now we can get into the Eat Crow. We're not always right, are we? Why don't you lead us off with the nominees for Eat Crow?
And here are the things we are eating crow about. Things we got wrong. First, from the Dallas Cowboys, we thought he would be in the conversation for the wide receiver one, CeeDee Lamb. From the Philadelphia Eagles. This one is a weird one. We thought he would be both really good and mid-season, we told you to drop him. He ended up being really good. A.J. Brown. Next, from the New Orleans Saints, we thought he would be unbelievably bad. He ended up being better than we thought he'd be. Quarterback Tyler Shough. And this one specifically for Dr. Stu from the Minnesota Vikings. I thought he would be terrible. Stu thought he would be good. JJ 9 McCarthy. And Stu, the winner is.
Yes, the winner from Ryan Mendez Tucker's desk to your ears, also on his team, AJ Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles. Where, what is going to go on with him? Is he even going to be in Philadelphia next year? That is very fascinating to me, James. How are you feeling about this? All of these are reasonable eat crows for us. But AJ Brown, I thought, would be so much better. The Eagles, I thought, would be so much better on offense. They fired their coordinator, Petullo. I don't know if you saw the little kid that got interviewed, and he started talking about how he wanted Kevin Petullo to be flipping burgers at McDonald's. Oh, that's a Philadelphia Eagles fan right there. But let us hear it. What are you thinking about eating crow?
Eagles fans are always a very entertaining fan base to listen to talk. Like, if you would have listened to Eagles fans throughout most of the season, you would have thought they were like a 3-4 win team. They were, I believe, an 11-win team, and they were very much in contention to win this playoff game. And if any of you out there have been watching the NFL playoffs, there's only really been one game that hasn't been very, very good. And it wasn't the Eagles game. But A.J. Brown, I believe the reason why he wins this award is because we were wrong about him twice. We were wrong about him in the offseason when he thought he would be a wide receiver one. And we were wrong about him in the middle of the season when we thought he was droppable. Or I don't think I ever said he was droppable. I said DeVonta Smith was droppable. I just said A.J. Brown was not startable. But towards the back half of the season, he was obviously great. But what's going to happen in Philadelphia down the line is, I don't know. Does anyone know? They'll get an offensive coordinator. If they get Mike McDaniel, they'll probably be fantastic. Past that, it's anybody's guess. A.J. Brown is a very good receiver, though. There's a chance they part ways with him this offseason, but I don't think that's going to happen. He's too talented. So let's move on to the next award. I believe it's my turn. Or no, Stu, it's your turn to award the next award.
Yes, so we are next talking about the WTF story of the year. The most surprising, the most out-of-pocket experience. You wake up and you witness these things and you wonder if you're still asleep. The nominees for WTF of the year. Quarterback Philip Rivers, coming out of a almost five-year retirement to start games for the Indianapolis Colts. He did not win a single game, but he was out there looking like a dad slinging the rock. But he played, and he lived, and he got health care for his entire clan of children for the next 5 years, too. Next is Michael Wilson, previous winner of the league winner trophy, out of nowhere, from left field, storming into relevancy. All of that production we thought Marvin Harrison Jr. would be, Michael Wilson was that and more. And lastly, in a little bit more negative of a sense, Brian Thomas Jr. being as bad as he was. I tell you, you talked a little bit about the Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver situation, talking about Travis Hunter. That is a wide receiver core, probably the most interesting to me going into the offseason and into 2026 to see what they do and what they end up with, because Travis Hunter being healthy, great. Jacoby Myers, like you said, making a home for himself. Brian Thomas Jr. is still a talented individual, but he is not what we thought he was going to be. And then I don't think Parker Washington gets his praises sung enough in the fantasy football community. He is an excellent player as well. James, of those three, Philip Rivers, Michael Wilson, Brian Thomas Jr., what shocked us the most this year?
And ladies and gentlemen, I think this award comes as absolutely no surprise to anyone. The WTF of the year, the Fantasy Footbeer Award, goes to Philip Rivers, returning to the Indianapolis Colts to start several games, and as fun as he was to watch, did not get a win in any of them. Philip Rivers, you are the winner here. Congratulations on this thing that no one saw coming. I cannot say it wasn't entertaining. I think I was deeply entertained. Stu, were you entertained?
I was entertained. It brought my eyes back to the screen to watch Colts football.
But it just, there's always crazy things that happen over the course of a football season. It has just seemed recently that the craziest of them happen in Indianapolis. Like, I think the last thing this crazy to happen would have probably been Jeff Saturday coaching football. That was insane. And then as he was coaching football, giving up a 33-point lead to the Vikings. But anyway, just if you didn't see this coming, you are one of, I don't know, how many people are on the planet right now? Is it like 9 billion now? Are we at 9 billion?
I think it's still, it's just over 7 billion.
Oh, really? Okay. If you didn't see this coming, you are just over 7 billion people who didn't see this coming.
8.3 billion. Sorry, live.
8.3 billion.
Yeah.
8.3 billion people didn't see this coming except for, well, did even like Chris Ballard or Carly Ursay Gordon, did any of them see it coming?
No. No one. Not even Philip Rivers saw this coming.
No, probably not. All right, our next award. I believe it's my turn. And this one is a fun one. This is our beer of the year. We collectively drank many beers over the year of 2025. Several of them we got to highlight on the Fantasy Foot Beer Show. And these are our four favorite beers of the year. And only one can win beer of the year. From Indianapolis, Indiana. From Sun King Brewery. Sun King Brewery. It is the Sunlight. Is it a cream ale?
It is a cream ale.
It's a cream ale. Sunlight cream ale. From Sturdy Shelter Brewing in Batavia, Illinois, it is the Riverview Kolsch. From Left Hand Brewing Company in Longmont, Colorado, the classic Milk Stout. And from Aslan Brewing Company in Washington, D.C., the Orange Starfish IPA. And before I announce the winner, I have finished my second Long Island. I haven't drank a Long Island since like college. What the heck?
That was my first legal drink, fun fact. Was really? A Long Island iced tea. It was, yes.
Since after finishing my second Old Fashioned, I have a beer that I'm going to open here. This is from Toppling Goliath Brewing Company in Decorah, Iowa. This is the Pseudo Sioux Pale Ale. They are a brewery that partners with the Field Museum in Chicago, Illinois, that my wife and our former producer, Kelsey, are involved with. And I'm going to drink that here, opening in 1, 2, 3. Stu, do you have any beers you'd like to highlight today?
Just the winner of beer of the year, James. I'm excited to announce it. Because, obviously, I mean, two of those nominations were from you. Two of those nominations were from me. And
well, actually, one of them was from Ryan.
Was it?
Yeah.
The is that the Aslan? Okay, I was going to say, I didn't think I recognized that, but you also have a very wide portfolio. Portfolio is the word I'm thinking of beers. So I was thinking I just forgot. Anyway, he selected, even though he had nominated the Aslan Beer Company, Orange Starfish, he selected the Left Hand Brewing Milk Stout. Perhaps my favorite beer of all time. It varies sometimes, but it's always in the top three. It's truly excellent. Everyone should drink it. What do you think, James? Are you sad a little bit for Sturdy Shelter's Kolsch?
Not at all. The Left Hand Milk Stout is one of the greats, to be sure. In the American craft beer scene, it's a staple. Really, in the stout scene, the only one that's up there with it is probably the Old Rasputin and, like, Guinness, which isn't American, but I almost nominated Guinness just because I've drank so much Guinness this year. I went to Ireland and drank mostly Guinness when I came home, but I also drank mostly Sturdy Shelter beers because I've spent a lot of time at that brewery this year, and it's a fantastic brewery with fantastic people, and I'm a big fan. But Left Hand Milk Stout, a very, very deserving winner of Beer of the Year. And Stu, we have one more award to give.
Sure do.
This is one of our biggest. And it is my turn to present. No, actually, it's your turn to present. This is confusing. Is it your turn?
It is my turn to present. Okay. I will probably just introduce it and then say who ended up winning that specific category, if that's cool. And then
that's cool.
We'll push it to you for obvious reasons. So what we're talking about, we referenced it many times throughout our episodes this season. If you have been paying close attention and are a loyal listener, you already know the results. But this is the Fantasy Footbeer Parlay Championship of the World Champion. That's the title. This is the season-long bet James and I had. We picked five separate... Are they parlays? I don't sports gamble.
It's parlay isn't really a good descriptor. I don't know why we settled on parlay.
I don't know. We had five different bets coalesced into one grandiose bet. It was a best 3 of 5 sort of thing. The first of five bets was a straight head-to-head running back competition in points as scored in points per reception leagues. Bijan Robinson versus Saquon Barkley. I champion Bijan. James champion Saquon Barkley. And Bijan pulled it out for me. Excellent. Second, we have the running backs. Now we have the wide receivers. Head-to-head points in points per reception leagues. CeeDee Lamb for me, because CeeDee Lamb is my guy. I would build a franchise around him. Versus Ja'Marr Chase for James. CeeDee did not pull it out for me this time. He was injured. I forgive him. That ties us up at 1-1. The third category is another wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. The bet was, if he was wide receiver 18 or above, James wins. If he was below 19 or below, I win. He was wide receiver in points per reception leagues, 51 or 54. It was not even close.
Not a good season.
Not a good season. I don't want to draft him ever again, personally. Next, Jackson Dart. Does he start 7 games? It was an over-under of 6.5. I thought Russell Wilson would be a little better, so I took the under. James, taking the over, smashed this by far. 2-2. The last and deciding bet, Shedeur Sanders. Over, under, a half snap at the quarterback position. With the over, James, you take it. Take it away.
This championship is one that will be remembered through the annals of history as a close and well-fought one. Stu, thank you for competing in this great game of predicting what people will do on Sundays with me. It's the story of fantasy footbeer. It's the story of fantasy football, and I am grateful to have a place in it. And with this championship, Stu, I toast to you. I am lifting my beer to you right now. I thank you for giving me a chance to beat you, and I salute my fallen adversary. So, Stu, and all of our fantasy footbeer listeners, let's toast Dr. Michael Stewart to Stu.
in defeat. Always humble. Definitely isn't a little salty. There was like one or two of these that even in the moment, I was like, I really don't think CD is going to outscore Jamar Chase, but I'll take it anyway. It's the Shedeur one. It just sticks in my craw.
I remember where I was when Shedeur took his first snap. Me and Kelsey were out. I met her after work. Or no, that doesn't sound right. I met her one of our local bars, and we were sitting there eating dinner, and I'm like, Kelsey, look, who is that playing quarterback for the Browns? That's Shedeur. And it was a great night. We had everybody in the bar cheering for Shedeur. But Stu, what did I win?
So you win your own, very own monogrammed fantasy foot beer merch. I'm still in the process of designing it. It's hard to get a logo onto a shirt when I don't sew things myself. But I will spend the money. I will send it to you. Unlike the last time when we made a bet and you were supposed to buy a CeeDee Lamb jersey, you still have the opportunity to do that. You still need to buy a CeeDee Lamb jersey. But
I'll tell you, like, every other day I'm on like one of those Chinese knockoff jersey sites. Like, is this the day that I do it, that I make good on this like 4 or 5 year
It's agreement? 5 years at least. This was the 2020 thing for sure.
But like, here's the thing, like, I'm supposed to buy it for me. Like, I'm supposed to be the one to wear it, but I'm the one who lost the bet.
Well, you lose the money, but you also are apologizing to CeeDee Lamb directly, but with your support, for thinking Jerry Jeudy was going to be a better player than him. Also, it was April 23rd, 2020 that CeeDee Lamb was taken to. It was the 2020 season. We are at least 5 years into waiting for this bet to be.
I love that you have the date.
It's Google. I have Google right here. Come on.
That is so good.
We don't have producers to look this up for us. I need to do it myself.
Okay, you know what? Today, Stu, today I will order it.
Fantastic. All the time.
What? All the time?
All the time.
Okay.
Did you know he's only 26?
Oh, man. Stu, how old are we?
30.
Damn.
We're slightly older than CeeDee Lamb is.
That's bad. I don't like that. My Indy the dog here is a year and a half. How old is Pixel?
We don't know. So Pixel was a barn cat. We honestly have no idea. We estimated that she was around 4 or 5 years old when we got her, and that was about a year and a half ago. So she's like 6-ish.
Hmm. Nice. All right, Stu, this has been a very fun episode to record. How about you give us your closing thoughts here?
Yeah, closing thoughts. Thank you guys for being along on this ride with us one more time. Give it up to the Benny Bowl Football League champion, Ryan Mendez Tucker. the first ever championship for the Tucksanity franchise, the Mendez Tucker. What's his name? The
heretical hyphens.
I don't like how heretical is pronounced.
Heretical.
He's what the ninth unique manager to win in the BBFL. I think there's eight of us in the Legends League now, plus Nick.
Now there's six of us right now.
There's six of us, right?
So it's eight. Yep.
Crazy. Okay, so eight in 14 years. I still am tied for the most victories, most championships, just throwing that out there. But congratulations to get your one, Ryan Mendez Tucker. You got to get two more to match me now. As far as fantasy football, it's been a year. We made it. We stuck with it every single week. Thank you guys for being along on this ride with us. Thank you for everyone who has interacted with us throughout the 2025-2026 fantasy football season. From the bottom of our hearts, every single listen makes this all worthwhile, and the opportunity to just, you know, sit down and talk about a silly game with one of your best friends is just a cool part of life, you know? Still reach out to us, Instagram, not X. It is X, not Twitter. I almost called it Twitter. Sorry, Elon. At Fantasy Footbeer on both platforms. Talk about the head coaching changes. Harbaugh's gone. Tomlin's gone. Stuff to talk about there. Hot takes for 2026. What's going to happen next year? Too early draft rankings. Talk to us about whatever you want to. We would be excited to talk to you. And then throughout the offseason, if you want to send us beer recommendations, even to just try and be like, yeah, we tried it. It's pretty darn cool. You can reach out to us at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. James, take us away for the evening of evenings, the red carpet, the Fantasy Footbeer Awards ceremony.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Stu. And, you know, I have to say, Stu, if this is the end of our season, I got to say, this is season three, and it really like the second full season, because we didn't do the full season in season two. And I think this has been definitely much more enjoyable than the first couple of seasons. I had a lot of fun recording these episodes with you, and I hope we keep doing this. And I enjoy getting to spend my Tuesdays and the odd Wednesday with you and talking about fantasy football. And to all of our winners, congratulations. Your award might be in the mail. You know, you can only trust it so far. And, you know, there's the manufacturers of the trophies and what goes out and whatnot. But thank you to Dr. Stu, the great one of our game. Thank you to Ryan Mendez Tucker, who literally on the spot decided to decide our champions for these while we were getting ready to record. I was like, you know, we should ask Ryan what he thinks of these. Thank you to Pixel the Cat and Indy the Dog and Joelle the Wife and Kelsey the Wife and all of you listeners. We appreciate literally all of you. You're awesome. You are awesome. And we still got a playoffs going on here. There's football left to play, and while fantasy may be done, football is not. I hope you all get to watch football with a little bit more ease than you normally do. Get to enjoy the game for the game rather than the game for, well, the game we play. But thank you to all those. And also, fantasyfootbeer.com if you would like a written version of stuff. We have blog posts. I don't know if Stu is much for writing, but I've been writing stuff, and I will continue posting stuff there. But thank you again, everybody. This is the Fantasy Footbeer Awards for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Indy the Dog, for Pixel the Cat. I'm James Camp. Good night.